No.
Okay. So, before we discuss the Shaila that we ended off last week, let's make an introduction to that Shaila with many other Shailas beforehand. So, you have a situation many times in Dinei Torah that you sign a contract, let's say you're buying a house, and in the contract it says details of when you don't fulfill the duties which you're supposed to, and therefore there's going to be certain penalties. You don't pay up in time, there's going to be additional money paid because of the late payments. Certain, what we call kanasas, which are added to the contract in the event that you don't perform the contract properly as you should. And the question you have to ask is that, are those kanasas which you sign on, are those binding or not according to halacha? Or do we say, well, you didn't really mean it, and therefore something you don't mean is not binding? Like we've seen up to now, the concept that when you hire a worker and you promise more than above wages of going in the market, we say that you're not obligated to pay over and above the wages because you didn't mean it.
When you write something in a contract, you could just say, oh, I didn't mean it.
Well, so up to now, yes?
At least in writing a contract, that's different.
Ah, so up to now we've seen that if you have a verbal agreement and you promise, like the Gemara says, you're running away from prison, and you promise to pay more than the going rate to get you across the river. So then you only have to pay the going rate and not the above the rate. Because it was a verbal contract, and obviously you didn't mean it at the time. But if you actually sign a contract, that shows you really mean it. Now we're asking over here, you sign a contract that you want to buy the house. And if you don't perform how you should, you don't pay up in time, then you're going to penalize yourself with certain extra money which you have to pay.
If you penalize yourself, what about the contract also as a contract?
Yes, in the contract is written.
Both sides?
Yes, okay. Both sides. And you don't perform how you should, and now the claim is, I want not only the money you owe for the house, but also the penalties, because you didn't perform how you should. Do we say that, well, you don't mean it, or do you say, well, you've signed in the contract, so you can't say that? Is there a reason to differentiate over here that we would say that signing a contract still doesn't help?
If you don't like it, cross it out.
Okay. What's on paper is on paper. Yeah. No, let's say there's no damages. We'll get to damages later. A pure penalty. But you signed on the contract for that.
I would say it nothing to do with the fact that it's a contract. But if it's common, common standard that people have these penalties built in, then you assume you're serious by Torah Mishnah B'Leih.
Okay, so let's look at our first Marah Mokum. It says like this. The Gemara in the Zohar says like this. Hishlish Eshtara. Reuven owes Shimon money. Reuven owes Shimon money. It's written in a document that Reuven owes Shimon money. He says, alright, Hishlish Eshtara. He's ready part paid. So the document says, I owe $1,000. And he's ready paid $400. So really, he still only owes $600 now. But the document says thousands. So what does he do? He says, he puts that document in a third party. Puts it by the lawyer. And he says like this, if I don't pay the remains of the debt which I owe you, which is $600, in 30 days' time, ten lo shtar, then you, the lawyer, have the right to give back that document to the person who, the malva, the one who lent the money, and then the malva can claim $1,000 now, because that's what's written in the document. Well, even although I owe him 600, even though I owe him 600, but if I don't pay back in 30 days those 600, he can now get $1,000. So that's what's written in the document. I give the right for the lawyer to do that. Give it over to the one who lent the money. I am canassing myself that if I don't pay back in time, they're not going to pay more.
Not really, because he's not allowed to claim $1,000 either, just as a practical matter, he has the physical ability to do it. But it would be gentle for him to claim $1,000.
No, he's allowed to.
Why?
Because I gave him permission.
You gave him permission to give him back the document.
And claim, using that document, $1,000.
Where does it say that?
Because that's no point. Otherwise, there's no incentive to allow me to have
No, because the fact that he can physically get the $1,000 from me, it's like if he was a criminal, and I said, in 30 days, you can give him back his gun so he can hold me up. That doesn't mean I'm
no
saying...
That's not what the clause talks about. Higia Zman. 30 days comes. Below Nelson, and he hasn't paid the $600 which he owes. Rabbi Yossi says, in such a case, Yitzen, you can give now that document to the Malva, and now he can claim $1,000, even though he's only owed $600. Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, lo Yitzen, you can't give it over. Omer Rab Nachman, Omer Rab Avor, Omer Rab. Ein halacha k'Rav Yossi. The halacha is not like Rav Yossi, the halacha is like Yehuda. You're not allowed to give that document over. Why? Doma smachta konya. Because it's a joke. He didn't mean it. He didn't mean it. Why? What's the understanding? What do you mean he didn't mean it? He meant it. He paid $400. He still owes now $600. He says, you know, I'll give this document, give me 30 days. I'll give this document to a lawyer. The lawyer can give this whole document and then you can claim $1,000, which is more than you deserve, if I don't give back in 30 days. We say he's not allowed to give the documents because he doesn't have to pay the $1,000 even after the 30 days. Why? He said he would. Because he doesn't mean it. What does it mean he doesn't mean it? He said it. Why doesn't he mean it?
Because it's ribbons and he meant it.
No. It's not ribbons.
Why?
Because it's nothing to do with time.
You just said it has everything to do with time.
No. Ribbons is every day late.
No.
One off payment.
It's not ribbons. Ribbons has nothing to do with every day. It doesn't have to be every day.
Aga Natalie, ribbons is.
Correct.
With time, you have to pay more. That's ribbons. This is not. This is, if you pay 30 days late, or you pay 1,000 days late, you still only pay 400.
What did he gain by doing this?
He gained extra 30 days. Let's repeat.
And what would happen if he didn't pay back now?
Yeah. Reuven's debt is due now. And he has to pay $1,000. He comes to the Shimon and says, I want to make a deal with you. I'll give you $400 today. Give me an extra 30 days. And if I don't pay back in 30 days, then you can claim the whole $1,000 as if I haven't paid you anything. Says Rabbi Yehuda, at the end of 30 days, you're not allowed to claim the $1,000. That penalty which you impose on yourself is not valid because he doesn't mean it. Why? What do you mean he doesn't mean it? He said it. He doesn't mean the penalty. Why doesn't he mean it? Anyone idea? So what does he mean?
I know what you want me to say, but it's not true. I know what you want us to say, but it's not true. What you want us to say is that it's like an asmachta, that he certainly assumes he's going to be able to make the payment, and therefore he's willing to make the promise.
Yes, so the Gemara
is not true.
Why is it not true? The Gemara says it!
Because people sometimes take that risk. Fully knowing that it might not happen,
mm-hmm.
that it might
the
happen.
The lender now has a right. I have a right to foreclose on your
yes.
Right. And you are essentially saying to me, I'm buying your right to foreclose. I'm going to buy that right from you for the extra $400. So of course I take you seriously. What do you mean you're not serious? You're gaining. That's why you're gaining something. You've now acquired a benefit by giving me the right to get that.
So there is Shonim all explained over here. What does it mean he doesn't mean it? So Gemara says he doesn't mean it. He's not obligated, says the Gemara. That is the case. That is the halacha, says the Gemara. Why? It's because what is he really interested in? He's really interested in paying back the debt within 30 days. That's what he wants to do. That's what his whole tachnit and his whole kavana is at the time. I'm not going to come to a situation where I will have to pay this kanas, because I'm so sure of myself that I'll be able to pay the debt within 30 days, that it will never come to a situation where I have to pay that extra $400. That's what I think when I say these statements. And why am I saying these statements? Because I want to say, show you that I'm serious about it. Trust me, I'm going to pay back in time. How am I showing that I should pay that in time? Because I'm willing to say that I'm willing to pay more money. But do I really mean or intend to pay that money? No.
Well, if you're not really willing to pay the money, how does that show your seriousness?
Right. I'm only joking. I'm only joking when I say I'm willing to pay it, so that shows I'm serious about that.
But he already got the benefit. He got the 30 days.
These people
you can show...
They're not going to pay, and they're never going to pay. And so they keep getting pushed off into the top. At least if I know I have a right to get more for the time I'm giving you, so I'll agree. You know what I'm saying? I didn't really mean it. This one I can't.
That's Rabbi Yosi. But Rabbi Yehuda says that he has no intention at the time he's saying his statement to ever come to a situation where he would actually pay that extra, because he intends that it will never be a situation at the end of the 30 days that he will be still owing the money, because he intends to pay.
Even if it's written in the shtar?
Ah. So, now. So what? It's written in the documents. What do we care? At the end of the day, he's written the documents. It's not just words. There's a document out there that says he owes him $1,000.
Document.
Okay. This is verbal stuff. So now I explain the easiest way to understand this. It was a famous Yisodah Rav Chaim. Why do you ever have to make documents or transactions or pay money? Why can't you just transfer an object by just saying, hey, I got a chair. You want to have that chair? Yeah. Here, I'm giving you this chair over now. And why doesn't those words in it say, in itself, actually now transfer the ownership of the chair?
With or without aiding?
Aiding just needed in order to say that there's no one lying. It just needed that to make sure that the story is true. If everyone agrees to the story, you don't need aiding. Just the fact that Reuben says, here's my chair, I'm giving this over to you now, why isn't that good enough? Why do you have to ever do kinin mishicho, kinin haba, or ever kesev, or other documents? What's the necessary of that? Just words alone.
It might be lending and not a sale. The Torah demands it.
There's a physical act there are transactions where a meager tanya. Mm-hmm.
So why isn't words good enough? Because?
It doesn't indicate it.
I speak out the whole deal. Here's my chair, you're going to give me £600 in the next week. The chair is now yours. Give the £600 next week. Why isn't that good enough? Now, no one can retract. So there's a famous soldier replying who says like this. Because without doing the action, then we don't really know that you really mean it. And what creates the transfer is complete and utter gemiras das. That shows that you really mean it. And by words alone doesn't show they really mean it. But if you're prepared not only to say words but do an action which is considered a transfer as well, not just words, but you actually do a certain action, that makes your gemiras das much more solid.
Why? Why isn't the fact that I'm expressing my das?
Because words are easy to say. Actions is a further stage of showing interest.
Your hands are easy to, just as easy to shake as words are easy to say.
Handshakes.
Yeah.
Sometimes handshakes are good enough to say.
That's what I'm saying. Hands are just as easy to shake as words are easy
but
to say.
But that's only sometimes. It doesn't apply always. Handshakes also not good enough. What type of actions are good enough to show that you really mean it? The Torah defines. Yeshiva. Habbar. Kester. Contracts, certain actions show in certain abilities, situations you should really mean it, and then it actually transfers. So what actually makes a transfer? Really, it's your gemira stuff. Your intention to happen. The kinyan is to show that you really mean it. But in a situation where we know even after you made the kinyan, even after you've written the contract, we still know that you don't mean it, then it doesn't help that kinyan which you made, because it hasn't gained anything, because even after you've done it, you still know you don't mean it. Like in the situation of asmachtos, where we know the whole reason why you're promising this is not because you really intend that it should ever happen, it's only to entice the person to agree to your what you're promising, but you never intend ever that you should give that kanas or that penalty. Even after you've done the contract, you still don't intend that ever to happen, because you intend never to get to that scenario that you don't pay back in time.
And how do we know that that was his intention?
That's with all kanasas. That's obvious. He really wants to pay kanas.
No, but he may be willing to do that in order to have the money for extra 30 days. But to keep him away from the 30 days.
He's willing to say those words to get the 30 days. He's not willing.
There are many times where he
doesn't want to come to a situation.
Nobody wants to, but how do we know when he's not willing?
No, I don't accept it.
Okay.
And then
that's what to coins. If you're in that situation, that's what you have to do. Or there are certain ways to get around the problems. But just doing the contract is not enough. Now,
even if the contract is considered a kinyan, even if the contract is considered a kinyan.
Yes. Because the kinyan, even after the kinyan doesn't mean I want to give him the $400 extra. Kinyan just means I want the 20 days and never come to pay the $400. That's what's written in the contract. I'm going to pay you back in time. I owe you. Why should I give you $400?
So if it's written in the contract, you do have to pay.
Even if it's written in the contract, unless you use certain halakhic terminology, it won't be valid at this stage of the contract.
What if it's verbally, but you do an act of being done?
No, because Kenyan again, what does it mean? This means I want to have those 30 days. I want to pay on time. So I want to pay you the kanas. No.
What about varm shibaleve and varm?
Not varm shibaleve. Everyone knows that kanas is not on the pay. You want to pay a kanas?
Perhaps I don't want to, but
yes,
it's
that's
very
enough.
Common. Let's say
it's
for example,
you don't want to. So
no.
Then you don't mean
let's say for example, the person that he's dealing with,
yes,
the one who is the lender. He's not crook.
Yes.
So he knows this guy is not going to waste his time in base. He's going to take him to court, and he's going to end up having
okay,
to pay.
We're going to get that. Now, Rabbi Eliashiv, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, says a big kiddush. He says that since nowadays it's common practice in all contracts to have these kanosis, therefore, they're not written just as jokes, it's actually written in these contracts where a lot of times they're enforced, these. So therefore when you write it, you can't say I didn't mean it, because the minhag nowadays is to mean it. To actually carry out those what you sign.
That's what I said in the beginning.
Yes. That's the Kiddush of Rabbi Yashin says, since nowadays all these contracts have these kanosis, so therefore when you have the contractors, you're buying property and you have these contracts where it says that if you're not paying time, you're going to get this penalty, and you put it in the contract, then you can't say you didn't mean it, because you know it's going to be what everyone does. This is what everyone does.
If you're saying the case depends on what he really wants to do, that's not the same thing as saying what everyone does. If you're saying thoroughly Yashin's Kiddush, that it depends on what his and your class of what he really intends to do, I don't care what it says, I don't care what it does, I personally, in this situation, have no intention of paying this.
So then don't write it in the contract, because you know by writing the contract, in contract, there is no way of getting out of it. If you write it in a contract, there's no way of getting out of it, because that's what contracts are for nowadays. That's the Kiddush of Yashin.
Let's put the Yashin's Kiddush aside.
Yes.
According to what we're saying, if I'm an insurance company, I can turn to my policy holder and say, oh, I never really thought your house would burn down. I'm not paying your policy.
No.
I could say that.
It's not a kanas. That's a...
No, but I never really thought you were burned down.
I never would accept a premium to the sum total of $2,000. If I don't, I would have to pay $500,000.
Right. Right. So I should be potter from paying on the policy.
But,
well, if you do that to 1,000 people, obviously you
make a lot of money.
That's your business.
Your business, if you don't mean it, to answer the question, very good question. The answer is, if you don't mean it, then you've got no business. So if you've got no business, then for sure you need it. Because if you never make time,
well, no,
what you promise, then
have
no one
will
come to you, no one will buy your policy, and you'll not have the business.
That's only when
so
it comes
obviously
to,
you mean it to
that's
have
only
a
when it comes time to the first
exactly
balance.
The same nature of the contract. If a person does it consistently, it's legitimate. If he does it on one off or two or three off, it's illegitimate.
No, because there's
why
ways, there's ways in contracts to make them valid halakhically. It's not like, oh, so I'll never be able to get this, what you want, in the case he doesn't fulfill all his commitments, you won't be able to get those penalties. There is a way of doing it. Halakhically, there's a way of doing it. But if you don't do that way, then you're left with this problem of a smata. But with insurance interest, that's the whole business. There's no business without them fulfilling their commitments. So Rabbi Yashiv has this chiddush. The problem is, there's a whole group of Tayonim and Gedolim poskim for arguing Rabbi Yashiv, and said, does it make a difference? Doesn't make a difference. So therefore, when you have contracts which have these kenosis in, and you go to a basin, you have to be careful which basin you're going to. Are you going to a basin of Rabbi Yashiv and his Talmidim? Then you're okay. If you're not, then you'll be a problem with the claim against you of Asmatas. You have to do your homework first, depending which side you're on. Now, let's move on. Din Torah came to Beis Din. That there was a shidduch made, Chosen and Kala together, and they're now looking for a hall. They find a hall for the simple. Fine. Part of the deal of this hall is you have to sign an old contract and you have to give us 40% of the money now for the hall. And it says in the contract, the clause, in the event that you back out within 2 months of the event, you forfeit those 40% of the money which you give.
The house,
said? Oh, the Kasna. Kasna. Yeah. A hall for the Kasna. And he gave 40% up, and it says in the contract, in the event that you back out too late, 2 months for the Kasna, then you forfeit those 40% of the money which you give him. Now, so that's a knas.
Yeah, but we say when you gave the money, it means you're serious, by definition, no?
So does the fact you gave money make it take away the problem of the smut? So the Rambam says like this, and this is Shulchanoch Paskin, number 2. Hanosen Avon Lachavera. Somebody says, gives him a guarantee. For Omele, he says to him, if Ani Chosidi, if I retract and don't do my commitments, Avinu Motolok, the money which I gave you is yours. But hello, Omar, and the other party says, if I retract, then I'll give back your guarantee and pay my own money to you. So he says, if the one who gave the guarantee is backtracked, then he doesn't get his money back. Because he's already given it. But if the person who hasn't got the, gave the guarantee, he never gave money, if he retracts, then he doesn't have to pay his knas, because it's a smut. So we see from the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam that one of the ways to get round the problem of a smutters, which means any penalties which I impose on myself if I don't fulfill my commitments, is not bad, is by actually giving the money up front. If you give the money up front, then if you don't fulfill your duties, there won't be problems as much as the person will be able to keep that money as a knas. Because that shows that you really meant it and it wasn't joking, because you actually put the money in his hands. Okay. So often the buyer, he gives money up front. And he will have to forfeit that money if he doesn't fulfill his commitments. But the seller, he hasn't given any money. So he'll have the problem of asmata if you wouldn't have the chiddush of Rabbi Yashiv.
Now,
what is the money with what is the money with like a lawyer or some one in Manu? Something like a middleman.
Yes.
Middle. So
no, it's not good enough.
Is it the same as in the old hand?
It's. If he's a shliach, then of the person, then yes. But if he's not considered a shliach of the third party, of the mocha, then no.
So they can take the money back, even though they can't do one thing.
He has to be, if he's a shliach, if he's considered an agent, then he'd be able to get, then he wouldn't be able to get the money.
I don't think What do you mean?
Asmachta is the proof. And the proof doesn't buy. What does it mean? Asmachta means that he wasn't serious. That's the word
asmachta means.
Asmachta means relying upon a certain condition.
You're relying on something that doesn't, okay.
So the money though has to be in a physical form, like in a check. To the hall, you have to give the money in cash.
Or check is also good. A check is also cash.
Check
in
is also good?
Well, we'll have a whole shirim on...
What about the pen?
We'll have a whole shirim on checks. What type of check is considered cash and what type is not? There's yesh for yesh.
Maybe a check is good for cash. I heard that if you take someone's money and you spend like $1 million to feel, then you only owe the value of the paper. Because...
What, nowadays you're saying that's it?
I have a whole pile of $1 million.
Yes. Yes.
I burned it.
Mm-hmm.
It's your money. I only have to pay the value of the bill.
No. Maybe in the old days when money wasn't, it was really gold and it's just a document for gold. Nowadays the money is the money. No one gets gold from the banks. Now. Maestro Shahoya Kakoya, another story. Bit of a funny story, but here's the story. Shiloh came to base. Somebody in England needed to get to Eretz Yisrael for a hospital. Okay, so go on the plane. No. It was a time when that no planes were flying due to the volcano in Iceland. Okay. Now, couldn't get to the Chasna. The only way of him getting to the Chasna, if he would drive across the whole of Europe, take a ferry from Greece over to Eretz Yisrael and get there. The problem was, it was 4 days to the Chasna, and by Derech HaTeva you would only get there 5 to 6 days. So he went to a bottle, and he said like this, "Hey, I've got a Mercedes. Take me in this Mercedes and I'll pay you. Look, if I do get to the Chasna, I'll get there for the Shevi Brochus. I'll pay you a certain amount of money. However, if you get me in time for the Chuppah, you can keep the Mercedes." Of course, what happens? The Bacha drives
like a
Meshuggah. He was chased in 3 countries by the police and he outrun the police. And he managed to get time for the chuppah. So now the claim was, okay, I got here, so I keep the Mercedes. So the owner said, no, I wasn't serious.
But he gave him the keys.
The Shaila now, is this called, under the Rambam's chilik, that you impose yourself on a penalty? That if I don't, if you do such an action, then you're going to get this penalty. Here the penalty is the Mercedes car. We say that's a smartest. But if you actually give it into their hands, then that's called, gets rid of the problem of smartest. Is the fact that he had the keys and he's driving the car considered as if he's got it in his hands?
He's got it in his hands, physically.
Do you just need physically in the hands or to get rid of a smachta? What do you need
Kenyan,
to get rid of a smachta?
It's a Kenyan if he has it in his hands. The sheikha, there's all kinds of smachta in his hands.
I get
it. Sure.
He's riding it.
The owner's there also. He's got the sheikha, he's got chavak, he's got everything he wants. Except the shtar.
Driving, he has an owner's car.
Well, not legally, but halachically.
He didn't give us a car holding for
now. No.
I give him a ton of. I say, I'm giving you as a present this car. Not writing documents. No, and you go ahead to a kinning on it, then you own the car, yes?
And
no, yeah, nor was the Rambam. The Rambam was, here's the guarantee. And in an event which I don't feel like a witness, you'll be able to keep this guarantee. And the Rambam says that gets rid of the problem of Asmachta because you actually put it in his hands.
But wait a minute, what's the Asmachta? He wasn't serious? He obviously entertained the possibility he might get there for a couple, or he wouldn't have even said such a deal.
Tell me, was he serious?
Yes.
He
made it. We don't know. He obviously wanted to get to this couple really bad.
Is it a normal bonus to give for a worker?
No.
No. So that
not
wasn't
normal.
Serious.
That doesn't mean he wasn't serious. People give abnormal bonuses all the time. If they want something done, if it's really important to them, they'll
okay.
do it.
No. The Rabbi's case was when he gave it over, when you give the money over, so that takes away your argument that wasn't serious. Here,
why over here is it clear it's not like the Rambam's case? Why is the Rambam's case, oh there he's serious, but here it's clearly not serious. You're speaking good, you have to speak well.
I wouldn't have given over the money in case of the hall, unless I really was willing to use it. You know what, I could have.
Yes.
Well, that showed I was serious.
But here!
I would never give you
take
my
the keys back.
You would have told me, if I knew for sure I'd get there with a football, I wouldn't have offered you the Mercedes.
Then why did you make the offer to begin with?
No, you didn't say
what
good.
What was the point?
What are you going to say good for you?
The Arab one can't come back, but the keys, you can take the keys back anytime.
No, you can't.
No,
it's my car.
Drove away.
Ah, very good. Why is he giving the keys to the car? In order to show that, yes, I'm serious, or giving the keys to the car, because that's the job. You have to get me there, so how else are you going to get there? Unless you have the keys to the car.
He's not giving him the Aravon to show him that he's serious. He's giving the Aravon because the guy won't go through the deal without it.
And showing that I'm serious, not just a contract of words. I should give it to your hands. So therefore, it's more under your resources.
But that's the reason.
More reason that you would agree to me because it's more in your control.
That's not the reason I'm not giving it to you.
To give you more control.
Oh, to give you
more control. To show that I really mean it.
No, not
yes.
to show that I really
yes.
mean it.
Yes.
That's not why he's doing it.
Yes, that's why he's doing it.
People don't do that to show they really mean it. People do it so the guy will be willing to give his part of the deal.
It's dangerous.
It is dangerous, but that's why people take a risk.
Sure, if you're parking in a very narrow parking space, the owner of the car will say, let me direct you.
So therefore, it wasn't given over as a guarantee for my pledge. More than that, let's look at the Orach Shai. He says like this. Number 3. Fi ma'ashu kosu b'prisha b'shem mutkai zarap b'mokholoch lo tepi asmat the Rambam avi yeshu loch b'matona af the mosli odo havi asmata. The whole Rambam's halacha is if I give you the money and I say if I don't fulfill my commitments then you can keep it. But if I give you an object and I say in such a situation that if I don't fulfill my commitments then you can buy it or obtain it, I can transfer ownership over it in such a case, then that is still a stage removed from actually being yours. And therefore that doesn't get rid of the problem of smarter. Money gets rid of the problem of smarter. Objects does not get rid of the problem of smarter. So two reasons over here. It's still a smata, and he wouldn't have to pay them the
money. Wait, where does it say that he robbed his money?
Money!
If he was given him the car, if it was proper kinyan, you have the car,
still wouldn't be good enough according to the Arab side. Still wouldn't be Arab side. It still wouldn't be good enough for Arab side. No, we never say it's a kinyan. We say, I will give over the car. If I'm giving you over the car now, fine, I've already given the present.
Okay.
Yes.
If it's yours for the next one week, if you get me to the wedding,
1 week it's yours forever. But in the event I get you to the wedding, don't get the wedding, you have to give it back. Different ways. So then, for sure, that's not from us. That's a present. By giving you a present, I get it back only if I get it.
How's
money different?
Not money. Well, I give you my $1 million
base.
You lend me whatever, and I give you $1 million
base.
Yes.
Mashkin. No, that's different. Mashkin. That's a posuk that says a mashkin is konut the Baal Chov, and you've got rights now to certain rights to actually claim from it. That's a mashkin on a debt in exchange for the debt. Here's no exchange. Here's I'm obligating myself in a knas.
What is indicative?
I'm imposing myself a penalty.
What is indicative that the rabbi needs money?
Mm-hmm.
Where is the indication that the rabbi needs
that
money?
That the Kiddush Arach Shai understood that we don't say more than in logic than we have to. And therefore, this logic I can see working with money, but with objects I don't see working. It's good enough to reveal.
So he's
being
mechadish when he says the rabbi needs money.
Yes. 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 Okay. Let's move on. Somebody was selling Dintera, basically. Reuven was selling his property to Shimon. There is certain times he has to make payments. Shimon has to make payments on time. He did not live up to his commitments. The first payment he didn't make on time. Because of that first payment, Reuven had to take money away from his business in order to buy his property, which he was buying. He was hoping to get the payment from Shimon in order to pay the house which he's buying. He didn't get the payment from Shimon, that on time, that caused now him to take money out of his business and use that to buy the property which he never had intention of doing. Next payment was also not done on time. That caused now Reuven to pull money out of his pension fund in order to make the next payment on his property. At the end of the day, all the payments was made, but not on time. And there are kenosis, penalties in the contract, which now Reuven's claiming from Shimon. It's not written halakhically. He goes to a Beis Din, which is not Rabbi Yashiv's Beis Din. Problems are smarter. Can you still enforce the penalties now that we see that he's actually lost by the fact that he didn't pay on time? He's lost the money from the business which he had there, which could have caused him more profit from his business. Now he had to take it out, and he lost potential profit from his business by using that money elsewhere.
That's grammar. Well, that's super duper grammar.
Super duper grammar.
I think it's not even grammar.
That's what's called. What's the halakhic phrase for that? That's called Menias Revach.
It's not even that.
It's called Menias Revach.
It's not even that.
Bitul Kiso Shel Chavera.
Because what's causing my problems is not that he paid me late. What's causing my problems is that I invested in real estate I couldn't pay for.
No, I was set up my contract that I could pay.
You thought you could pay for it.
Yes,
my
fine. But I lost. But because of your action, I lost.
No, it's not because of
what
my action.
Because of you not fulfilling your commitments
you
of the documents, I lost. Now, the second one, he lost. He took money out of the pension fund. And now he lost. All that time the money was in the pension fund. Reva, which is borrow, he's lost. Profit, which is sure is going to happen, he's lost. From the pension fund. Then he's even lost money for the fact he had to take out money. Sometimes you lose a lot by taking money out of the pension fund. So the fact that he loses money, does that now allow him to say that, okay, normally it's a smachter, normally you don't have to pay penalties, but here I lost money, you have to pay penalties.
Shouldn't have a bearing whether or not I was serious. The fact that you lost money doesn't reflect on whether I was serious.
So you're saying you should make no difference in logic. Let's look at the Gemara number 4. Hahu gavur dekibo arama chaveru. There's a person who took upon himself to plant land. He's going to work in the land and sow it. If I end up not sowing your land, I'm going to pay a debt, a knas, a penalty of thousands of. If we tell, so what happens? A third of the land he did not sow. It should be that he has to pay 333 zuz. whole land is 1,000 zuz, a third of the land not sowing should be 330. Rabbi Omar smachtahu, he doesn't have to pay because it's a smachta. Penalties you don't need to pay. A smachta lo konya. I promise to sow your land. If I don't sow your land, leave it fallow, I give myself a penalty of 1,000 zuz. He left it fallow. Rabbi says he does not have to pay. I, who offer my shnor, my high titan, we like not like that from a Mishnah. Im obu below obu the shalom ha-meitzim. If you ask to sow a field and you don't do it, you have to pay for the loss in money which you didn't have a field sown. All the profit from that land you have to pay if you don't sow it. So we see that you have to pay a penalty. What's the difference between your 1,000 zuz and paying the value of the produce which you didn't sow? So the Gemara says, "Hossam loka gosam hoka kivin the bills to say a guzma ba'almahu." One case, you're exaggerating. Did he lose 1,000 zuz by you not sowing it? He didn't lose 1,000 zuz. So therefore, the whole thing is a smachta. You don't have to pay. Doesn't mean it. The other case, he, whatever he lost, you're paying. If you would have sown it, he would have made profit of 500 zuz. Now you didn't sow it, he's lost 500 zuz. That profit he lost, you have to pay. It's not a problem of smachta, says the Gemara. So even although it's a grama, you're causing him to lose money by not fulfilling your commitments of sowing the fields, we still say that you have to pay for that loss.
He knows up front what the damage is going to be if he doesn't do this. The pension, I don't know what your pensions are, what you're going to have to take money out of your business. Well, I know you have a Swiss account you could use. I don't even know you bought property.
Doesn't matter. I know that I've got certain commitments I have to fill in this contract. I know it could be likely that the reason why you have to pay up on time, because it may cause, if I don't, it may cause problems elsewhere.
But the Gemara is not could be likely. The Gemara is, I know you're going to take a loss of this and that.
So, you could learn like that. But you're putting in a kipsa. Let's say he said, I didn't know what the price was.
But the Gemara is a kipsa that he knew that
he... He knew, it doesn't say he knew.
No, he says, if I don't do it, I'm going to pay you the meitav.
No.
A shalom the meitav.
The Ovid, no, that's the halacha. If he doesn't do, then he pays. Let's say he commits himself to pay.
If all the alafs here mean I. Hmm? In Obi, if I will...
In Obi, below Obi, Shalom, the Mason.
I will pay. He's saying I will
even
pay.
Anders Rishon say, even if he doesn't say it, he has to.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. Now, we see from here that any losses which is caused by your not fitting your commitment, then you have to pay. That's not problem with smachta. Why?
Well, you say he doesn't have to do a making commitment. You said the Rishonim say even if he doesn't say he'll do it.
He's got commitment to sow the fields, yes? Any losses which you cause by the fact that you don't fulfill your commitment, you have to pay. Why?
Oh, so he has to pay even more than the knas. What if his losses are much more than the knas? Let's say his pension cost him more than the knas. He has to pay.
Well, no, because then the closer's the contract is limiting it.
Oh, so he's serious, but he's not?
No, he's limiting.
But he was not serious about
limiting. Nah. He's limiting. He's saying that this is all I want. Invented.
Okay.
Now, so we see from here, why is it no problem with Spartan? The reason being is because when I say to you, look, if I don't do the commitments, I'm willing to penalize myself. You say you don't mean it. But if I know that through my commitment it's going to cause you to lose money, then of course I do mean it and such. That's obvious. Even if the loss of money is indirect, because that's the whole reason why you're saying this commitment, why you want it.
Doesn't that mean you have to establish that I actually know you're going to lose money?
I have to establish that you're
going. I knew at the time you were going to lose money if I didn't make this commitment.
I just have to have commitments, and I say that I penalize myself if I don't do those commitments. What do I mean by that? Well, of course, I don't mean to pay the whole 1,000 zuz. It means to say that I'm willing to commit 1,000 zuz to any losses which you may have.
Yes, they are directly
No, because groma is also asa. You can't claim it because it's indirect. He's also not allowed to do. I'm not allowed to cause you indirect loss. So therefore, I'm willing to cover those indirect losses.
But the case of the gemara where he commits to perform an action is the same as someone commits a payment. Payment and action are the same. If I might not pay you, I don't necessarily cause you a loss. You could have a lot of deals going on with that.
I could cause you a loss. But I could cause you a loss. But I could cause you a loss.
That lack of showing caused the land to not produce. But in the case of my not paying you,
it could cause you a loss.
Yes. The same as this case.
What's the logic behind this case? Because I'm willing to debt myself in order that my actions shouldn't cause you a loss. I don't have to know that there will be a loss. I want committing this amount of money so that it shouldn't be a loss caused through my actions. That's not called a smach.
So if Menias Hareva is called a loss, why isn't every...
We didn't say Menias Hareva. The Beis Yosef, number 5, brings a Rashba, which says like this. If you don't pay on time, then I'm going to pay every loss that causes for me not paying on time. Okay? So now you didn't pay on time. So now the person comes and says, look, you caused me a loss because I didn't have the money to buy business. Didn't have money to have business. I lost potential profit. Says the Rashba, ain a chayiv, you don't have to pay. What's the difference from that to the Gemara?
It's
Menias Reva. To make you lose money indirectly, that I am willing to cover. But to prevent you gaining money, that I have to give you a panosa. I don't have to give you a panosa. I just have to commit that you don't lose from me. So that is still under the concept of a smachta.
Then, with the guy that has to take money out of his business, he should be in the same boat.
Yes, so therefore, in respect to taking money out of his business and now losing the potential to make profit, he's not obligated to pay for that. But for the loss which he got from the fact that he took money out of the pension fund, that you have to pay. Because that's almost direct.
No. What did he lose?
He lost, firstly, the fact he had to pull it out, and he lost for sure, Reva. Not like a business, which it could be Reva, so it could be profit, not
no,
profit.
No, in the Rashba's case, the guy had Reva. He knew he was going
to
buy it.
All right, he said, I want to buy this project and make Reva. It ended up, if I'm looking backwards, it ended up, I could have made a profit. You didn't, it wasn't short at the time.
What it says profit. Here, it says, Hoyeba Reva. There was Reva.
Yes,
no,
at the end of the day, we worked backwards, there was Reva. But there wasn't sure Reva.
You can buy merchandise and know there's that. If I'm a diamond merchant, I know I can buy it here and sell it there.
You don't know what's going to happen with the lover.
You know? No. Well, in a pension, you don't know what's going to happen either.
You're not committing to pay for the potential. It's all about what you thought and what you agreed to. You would not have agreed to it because maybe you would have made Reva. Right? But I've got a car, I know for sure you're going to lose Reva.
The way it's stated is.
Guaranteed losing money, I cover it. Even if it's indirect.
In retrospect.
But to lose potential profit, even end up being retrospectively that you did lose it, that I don't cover. And that is what the Shah Mishpat says is the sixth difference between the two. And therefore the Din Torah, he lost the money from the business, but the money which he lost from the pension fund he can claim using the kenosis which he wrote in the documents. Next week, we'll discuss the Din Torah like this. You can think about it. Reuven promises his future son-in-law a certain amount of money which is going to be used to buy the apartment. Yes.
Buy what?
Apartment. Based on that commitment, he signed a Zichron Devorim. Not a contract, a pre-contract. Yeah. In the contract, or the Zichron Devorim, it says that if you back out, you're giving me 10,000 shekels up front. If you back out, then you have to pay 5% of the asking price, which is 200,000 shekels. The market crashed. The father-in-law lost all of his money. No money coming to the son-in-law. Son-in-law's got no money to buy the property. Now he has to back out of the apartment deal. He backs out.
Is this in exchange for something, or are you just giving him the gift?
No, this is marriage.
No, it was done before the marriage or after the marriage?
No, this is in the
contract.
This was done at the Shidduchim and originally, and based on it. They got now married. So
now they're married.
They are married. Okay. So, no money from the father-in-law, no money to the son-in-law, backed out of the contract because you can't buy it now. It's got 2 million. Can't buy. The seller says, okay, you back out. You can back out. But you have to pay the kanas. You have to pay 200,000 shekels. Is he mechuyev to pay that 200,000 shekels? Or not?
You say the case again.
Okay, repeat the case. Father-in-law commits to give to the son-in-law money. Based on that commitment, the son-in-law signs on a pre-contract called Zichron Devorim.
How much with the third party?
With the third party.
Okay.
What percentage of the purchase price was the father's payment?
He was going to give 70% of the dira. Now, no money from the father-in-law because of the market crash. No money to the son-in-law to buy the apartment. Backs out of the deal. You're allowed to do that. It's not a contract. Zichron Devorim allows them to back out. But the clause says that if you back out, you have to pay 200,000 shekels. Does he have to pay the 200,000 shekels or not?
200,000 shekels?
That's 5%. Think about it. The next one. Yes, we're going to get there. It was still there. This is all a prelude to that.
Building it off for suspense.